Tonight's sugya is almost going to sound like a little bit of a repeat of some of the previous sugyas. The last sugya we spoke about the role of Bris Milah, particularly the role of the father, the mitzvah Bris Milah, as part of our general series of these next couple of weeks and months, in terms of the relationship of mitzvahs between parents and children. So many of the same kinds of shahs that we began Achos Bris Milah with, we're going to continue with Achos Pidgin Aben. So the next on the list of the brisa of the chiyuvim that a father has for the son, the son is the firstborn, not a kohen, not a levi. So then the halacha requires pidgin aben, and the mitzvah pidgin aben falls on the father. So the Gemara asks the same question, the first of the Mamakamos, lefdosum and nolan. How do we know that a father is obligated to perform this mitzvah? Tichsiv kol b'chor b'nechatifta. Says it pretty explicitly in the Chumash that you have to be told to your son. Heichad lo parki avua. What if the father didn't do it? How do you know that a person has to be told to themselves? It's a pasuk later on in Parashas Korach that speaks about you personally being told to yourself. So there are two different levels, two different layers of obligation in terms of the event. It starts with the father, the father's not around, whatever it is, then the child does it himself. So remember, we had a very similar model when it came to Bris Milah. But when it came to Bris Milah, there was a third piece. And that third piece, the third component is missing in the sugya pidgin aben. When it came to Bris Milah, the Gemara started off with, how do you know that a father is mechuyav to be mal the son? It says, kashetzivah solokim ayam avinu. Then the Gemara asked, that how do you know the father doesn't do it, that the beis din, klal Yisrael have to do it? And how do you know if the beis din didn't get around doing it, he has to do it himself when he turns the mitzvah? Tavalim apostle. So when it came to Bris Milah, we had three levels. Started out with the father. After the father goes to Beis Din, after the Beis Din goes to the child. Here, Pidgin Aben, that middle level is conspicuously missing. Here, the Gemara jumps from father to son. So it is clear from this sugya that the reason why the middle level is not mentioned is because it doesn't exist. That there is no chiyuv of a Beis Din to perform Pidgin Aben. It's okay. If the kid wasn't nifta when he was a child, the world's not going to come to an end. You know, you could discuss why philosophically, why that's true. You know, orel, that's not a good thing. Not being nifteh, it's not so terrible. It's just a bit of mitzvah. So we could definitely discuss why that's so. But it's clear in the world of halacha that that is the case. That there is no chiyuv, there is no obligation on the Beis Din to go running around and being paid there all the children that weren't nifteh properly through the father. Let the Beis Din wait. They'll wait till the kid turns by mitzvah, take care of it himself. So even though it's true that there's clearly no obligation on the Beis Din or on the Jewish community to go ahead and be told their children who haven't yet had Pidgin Aben, just because there's no obligation doesn't mean it's not a nice thing. Doesn't mean it's not something we should be doing. Maybe in fact we should be going doing it. Maybe we would be doing a service to these children. Perhaps if we don't do it, maybe the child turns by mitzvah. You remember, you know what the law is. We're dealing with people who are not from, so maybe the mitzvah will be neglected entirely. So just because the Beis Din is not necessarily obligated, just because the Jewish community, it's not our first foremost priority to run around being paid to all the non-niftu children in our midst, but maybe it would be a good idea, maybe it would be a smart idea for us to do it. So this is a loaded question in halacha, whether this is something that we should be encouraging, perhaps it's something we should be discouraging. And if we encourage it, just how are we going to go about doing it technically in a way that will fulfill the mitzvah properly? So the Ramah, in the second of the Mamakomos, quotes a very cryptic statement in the name of the Rivosh. The Ramah, in the second of the Mamakomos, quotes, "V'ein ha'av yachol liftos ayadei shaliach." Says the Rivosh, or supposedly says the Rivosh, the Ramah claims, that the father cannot appoint a shaliach to do pidgin aben on his behalf. And for that matter, the Beis Din cannot do Pidgin Aben without the father actually being there. So in one fell swoop, the Ramah just closed the door in this entire suggestion. The Ramah says, even if the father's out of town and he calls us up and asks us to do it on his behalf, it's not going to work. Because Pidgin Aben is not a mitzvah that lends itself to shlichus altogether. And therefore, it's a moot discussion. Can the Beis Din do it? Even with or without the authorization of the father, even be authorized by the father's lomah, it's not going to help us. Shlichus does not apply to the mitzvah pidgin aben. So this is a startling comment of the Ramah, because we have no idea why that should be so. Now this is again a little bit of a throwback to something that we spoke about a few weeks ago when it came to Bris Milah. When it came to Bris Milah, we also found, according to some opinions, that maybe Bris Milah cannot be done ayidei shaliach. Even though we all know we do it, 99% of us here probably have not done bris on our own kids. So we point them out to do it on our behalf. So according to some opinions, well, you have no choice. So we're not really yotzei our mitzvah. The kid has to receive a bris milah, so the moel gets the mitzvah, the father doesn't get the mitzvah. So that was a running machlokes. That was a big machlokes in the Rishonim, back in bris milah. So maybe that's the same issue here also. Maybe those same opinions that didn't like bris le'yadei shaliach are the same ones who are frowning on pidya ben adei shaliach. The problem is that the names, the shitas, don't match up. Because back in the sugya of bris milah, the Ramal was the biggest supporter of the idea you can have shlichas pidya ben. The Ramal quoted someone who disagreed and said, I don't understand it. What happened to shlucha shalom kibosa? If Reuben can appoint Shimon a shliach to be mekadesh anisha, to be mekadesh anisha, to sell land, to be mafish truma, shecht bar pesach, if shlichas works for kol tarkula, why doesn't it work for bris milah, said the Ramal. How can the Ramal turn around in Simon Shinhei and pichas pidya ben and say, sorry, there's no shlichas for pidya ben? So honestly, I'm not sure we have a really good answer to that question. All the great, great acharonim were puzzled with the statement of the Ramah. Some even questioned that the Ravash maybe never even really said it. The Ravash suggested it. Maybe it's not even true. So it's a very, very difficult Ramah conceptually to understand. There is a drasha of the Chassam Sofer where he suggests, this is totally on derech drush, it's not al derech halacha, where he suggests that maybe in the world of drush and machshava, the reason why you can't have shlichus of Pidya Ben is because Pidya Ben is close to the throwback to the Makas Bechoros. Machas Bechoros, we have a tradition, Ani Hashem, Ani V'lo HaShaliach. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu did it on his own, didn't delegate a malach to that to have, and therefore, as a zeichet to that, we shouldn't do Pidya Ben, Ayde Shalich. Again, it's a nice drush, says Chassam Tzayfer, but that's not going to make or break this din in your day in the name of the Ramah. So if the Ramah is right, that Pidya Ben is just not subject to some deep, dark secret, Pidya Ben is not subject to Shlichus, then basically she has all of then we're done. I'm for the short share in our history for Wednesday night. We're done. Because the answer to the question, Pidyon Ben Shloim De'av, which is the name of the topic, is a resounding no. If the father's not here, and even if the father tells him to do it, it can't be done. So everything we're going to be working with is assuming from here on in against the Ramah. Rov Acharonim, Taz, Shach, Tabiragra, Ruben, the Acharonim did not accept this Ramah. And assume that, of course, if the father appoints as a shaliach, it's going to work. Then again, we're not advertising that. We're not advocating it. Mitzvah b'yaseh b'shulchan. We'd rather do mitzvahs ourselves rather than delegate it to others. Not supposed to hand off mitzvahs to other people if you don't have to. But in terms of l'maisa, would you be yaseh the mitzvah? It's very, very hard to understand why not. So we're working with the assumption that, yes, you would 100% fulfill the mitzvah de shalichus. But we're going one step further. We want to know, there's no shaliach. The father never made you a shaliach. Why didn't he make a shaliach? The father's not alive. The father's not from. The father may not even be Jewish. You have a Jewish child who's now firstborn to Ima Yisraelis. He's Chayv and Pidya Ben. Who father? Where father? There is no father. There's no father to speak of. So what's the din? So again, if and when nothing happens, by the time this child turns 13, then the child's going to have to take care of himself. That's a Gemara. That's explicit. Possible Chumash. But in the interim, for the next 13 years, are we supposed to take the attitude that not to get involved because we're not obligated to? Or should we take the attitude, no, let's get involved. Let's do it. Let's get this kid nifta. That way we don't have to worry about it when he's 13. Someone's going to forget when he's 13. Do we have the mechanism in halacha to do it? So if the father would appoint us as a shaliach, except for the view of the Ramah, we'd be okay. But we didn't even have that. We don't have a father. We don't have a mina shlichos. Do we have any way of doing it on our own? So the third of the Maramakomas may shed some light on this. Some of you in the Tuesday night shul that we give in our shul, so we spoke a lot about this Gemara earlier on this year, a little bit of a different context. So the third of the Mamakomas is the Gemara Meseches Nedarim. Iboilu, the Amoran had the following shayla. Hatore mishalo al shel chaveiro, tzarech daito olo. I'm a farmer, and you're a farmer. I have produce that mice, 2% mice weren't taken off yet, and you have produce, 2% mice weren't taken off. Everything's terrible. I'm going to be a nice guy. And I'm going to take some of my produce to exempt your produce. So I'm going to make a cheshbon, how much truma, how much mice, how much I'm supposed to give. And I'm going to calculate that I'm going to give some of my fruit, hereby exempting your fruit from their obligation of trumas and mice. So can I do that or not? So the Gemara asks the question, wait a second, can I do that without your permission? Do I have a right to do such a thing, to be part of your trumas and mice, without your explicit rishus? If you give me rishus, if you appoint me as a shaliach, then of course I could do that. Actually, according to many, one of the sources of shlichus is from Trumas and Maisus. The Torah says, "Kein tarimu gam atem." The Torah Shabbat says, "Gam l'rabba shluchachem." So the whole notion of shlichus may even have its roots back in Hilchos Terumos and Maasos. So there's no question that if I was appointed to do so, I may do so. But I happen not to have been appointed.
This is being torn from the other field.
Oh, so this is tricky. So here, I'm going to take my fruit to exempt you. So yeah, we have two fields after each other. In theory, I could do that, except the fact I don't have your express permission to do that. Okay, but it's going to help your fruit. So do I need, that's exactly the shot. Do I need your permission in order to affect that chalos of Trumas and Maestras, that halakhic status of Trumas and Maestras? Do I need your permission to do it, or can I do it without getting your explicit permission? That's exactly the shot of the Gemara. So the Gemara presents two very, very strange sides to the Shaila. Says the Gemara, Tzarech Daito Olo. Mi Armin, and do we say, Kevin Dischusulo, Lo Tzarech Das? What I'm doing is totally advantageous for you. Why? First of all, you're going to save a few dollars. You're not going to have to separate your own terms and mises. And now you're going to have perfectly kosher fruits and vegetables and produce. Very, very easy job. So I did you a great thing. I did a schus for you. If I did a schus for you, so we invoke the principle called Zochin La'adam Shalom B'fanah. I can do something beneficial for you without you even knowing about it, without you even being here. A classic example, I want to give Reuven a gift. Reuven happens to be in Australia right now. No problem. I take the gift, I give it to Shimon. I say, Shimon, do me a favor. Pick up this gift, have in mind to acquire it on behalf of Reuven. Sure, it's a Mishnah. Zochel Adam Shalom B'fanav. That for sure works. So comes the Gemara and says, maybe we can invoke that sugi, that parsha, that din of Zochel Adam Shalom B'fanav and say, here, I'm doing something which is good for you. So what's the problem? The same way I can give you a gift without you knowing about it, I can potter your fruit without you knowing about it. The Gemara says, wait, not so simple. Odoma, mitzvah dilehi, benichle mivde. This is not 100% advantageous. There's something detrimental what I'm doing. I just stole your mitzvah. And you happen to be out of town right now. You're plotting, you're going to come back later today, and you can't wait. You've been so excited, you're so psyched up to be up to Chumas and Maestras, and you come back and find a sign that says, Chumas and Maestras, who for sure I did the Charedis, like, the signs that have in the show. Chumas and Maestras have been taken care of. You're furious. I stole my mitzvah. I want to do it myself. So the Gemara is pilpuling. It's almost like a psychological question. Is this phenomena of Reuven separating Chumas and Maestras, using his own fruit to exempt Shimon's obligation, is that generally a good thing, or is that generally not such a good thing? If it's objectively a good thing, then Zochel Adam Shalom B'fanav kicks in. If it's objectively not such a good thing, then I have no right to do anything to you. How could I affect, how could I steal your mitzvah? How could I do something that's going to change the status of your fruit without your permission? So that's the suffix of the Gemara. So the Chora, we could borrow this Gemara, and now plug it into our Shaila about Pidgin HaBen. I want to do Pidgin HaBen on behalf of somebody else. Who is the somebody else? Well, maybe the father. So if such a father exists somewhere, even though he's not interested in doing it. Or maybe in the absence of a father altogether, I'm doing it on behalf of the child himself. So maybe we can invoke this sugya and say, Zochel Adam Shalom B'fanav. But it's going to depend on the details of the Shaila. Is it good for him or not? So let's try to work it through ourselves. I'm being such a big tzaddik. I'm going to take my own 5 shkolim. I'm going to go give the 5 shkolim to the kohen. He didn't book him zuman to be motzi you, your chiyah from Pidgin HaBen, whoever the you is, you being the father, you being the son. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I can hear both sides. On the one hand, it's a good thing because, hey, you got a mitzvah Pidgin HaBen taken care of. You got the kohen off your back. You were yotzi your obligation and didn't cost you a penny. That's not a bad thing. On the other hand, Pidgin HaBen is a beautiful mitzvah. People plot to get the mitzvah Pidgin HaBen. I once have been waiting a lifestyle Pidgin HaBen. And then some nikabook just stole his mitzvah by giving the 5 shkolim. The father's out of town. He's coming back next week. So who am I to steal the mitzvah? Or perhaps the child at the ripe old age of 31 days says, wait a second. If he could talk, that's what he would say. I was looking forward to this great bar mitzvah pshatla. I was going to give him a pidgin. I was going to be yaitzin a mitzvah myself. And you stole from me 12 and a half years early. How dare you? So we're not sure. Yes, chus nishchus. So it sounds at first glance like a repeat, like a replica of the Shah and the Gemara about Truma. How do we pass it in the Shah about Truma? So the Gemara finally seems to conclude that it is a schus, that it is positive, it is advantageous, and therefore we would have a right to be mafresh, my pay risk to be mo to you from your chiyuv. So the parallel case of Pidgin HaBen would seem to point in the direction that yes, I can do Pidgin HaBen on your behalf, without even asking you, without being appointed by you, whoever the you is, whether the you is the father, the you is the son, there should be nothing wrong with that because Zach Lem Shalom Afanos. That's the chora what the din should be.
Is there a
shiur l'malach? Well, truma, you can be mafish almost everything.
So I could still be.
No. What, once you were ready, true spice was taken off, then the game's over. But I thought you were asking. No, you can't add afterwards. It means, let's say I have 100 apples. So Meister has a set amount. I can only give 10. Truma, I can give even the smallest amount, or I can give up to 99. I can't give the whole thing. I have to leave a little bit behind. But if that's if I do the vasachas. If I already was mafish truma once, and the game's over, and an hour later, I want to add them, that's not going to help. That's not going to be tough. So the chora, these two shahs are identical. Depending on exactly who I'm doing the zochin for. If there is a father around in theory in the world, the halachic universe, so that I'm doing a zochin on behalf of the father, then maybe this is not such a bad, bad comparison. But what if the father's not in the picture? The father's a little bit alive, the father's not Jewish. So I'm not doing a zochin for the father. The only possible person I'm doing the zochin for is the child. The child, that gets very complicated. Yeah, gotta check on the Tuesday night shurim and why you told her back from a few weeks ago. So in the Tuesday night shurim, the learning was Chesed Hedrin and Ashul, we quoted there many Rishonim, particularly Tosas, we wrote the opinion that Zoch Yadam Shom Bafanav Minat Torah doesn't really work for a child. It doesn't work for somebody under the age of a mitzvah. And the reason for that is, says Tosas, Zochin is a subcategory of Shlichos. The same way that if I formally appoint you to do something on my behalf, that works. If it's something which is advantageous for me, it's almost as if I appointed you already. So Tosa says, just as I can't literally appoint you if I'm under the age of my mitzvah, so too I can figuratively appoint you under the age of my mitzvah as well. And you can't do something advantageous for someone under the age of my mitzvah. So in the case of the Gemara Nedarim and the Flamin Vav, where it's separating Tumas and Maaseiros, the other farmer is 25 years old. But in the case of Pidjaben, the kid's a month old. So how in the world is Zochin going to work on behalf of this child? So that's why there are many poskim who had serious reservations about invoking the sugya of Zochin Liyadim Shalom Bafanav in order to enable us to do this Pidjah Ben. Now again, we have to just reiterate, we're not obligated to do this. Nobody's forcing us to do this Pidjah Ben right now. But we suspect it would probably be a good idea to do it, but a good idea for today till tomorrow, but it's not going to work. Because if you believe that Zochin doesn't work for on behalf of a child, then it's just not going to be it's not going to be tough, it's not going to be chal altogether. However, there is a Gemara that seems to contradict what we just said. It's a very, very famous Gemara, Maseches Ksubas, in the fourth of the Ramah Komas. It's probably going to be most of this up-and-coming Tuesday night shiur in Shul. Comes the Gemara Ksubas Afir Aleph and says, Amrafuna, Gia Kotam and Bilma Sol Das Beis Din. You have a child, a non-Jewish child, under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. We as a Beis Din have the right to be Metovel, to be Megayer, this child, even though the child is clearly not supplying Das, the child is 2 years old. To the model of the application, a baby was adopted, a non-Jewish baby is adopted, you want to be a guy of the child, so he says, no problem, but Bill saw the last base, and very easy, simple. The Gemara has a very, very strange question. Mike Kamashul on the word says, what's the Chiddush? It sounds pretty Chiddush to me. The Gemara says, oh, it's obvious. Zuchutzulav, Zachalai Shalom Afanav. The Gemara says, of course you can do it. Zachalai Adam Shalom Afanav. You could do something advantageous. Being Jewish is a good thing, and therefore, what's the Shal? Of course you can do it. What do I need Rav Huna to tell me you can do it? So it sounds like it's an open and shut case. But the Gemara says explicitly that it can be done. So it sounds like you could do Zechiyah on behalf of a child. So what am I kvetching? I'm telling you, no, it's Pidjaben, it's a Kotlin, Gaval, it doesn't work. The Gemara says that it works by Geirus. So there is a suggestion that's given by the Shach. I didn't put it on the Marmon Kamas. It's a long, long, long piece in the Shach in your day and Hilchos Pidjaben, where the Shach suggests that what's going on in this Gemara Ksubas is as follows. There's a big difference between a private zochin and a Beis Din zochin. A private zochin means Reuven's going to do something on behalf of Shimon. Wait a second, that's so simple. You have to be authorized to do that. Who authorizes you to do that? Either you have to literally be authorized, you are literally appointed to be a shaliach, or if it's something which is a real super duper zchus, it's kind of as if you were authorized. We know that you would have wanted to authorize me if you could have. So that's the zechiyah, like a shtikl zechiyah mitam shlichus. But that's going to run into a problem if the person who I'm acting on their behalf is a katan, because a katan can't authorize. But says the shach, when Beis Din steps up to the plate, they don't need the authorization of the other party. You don't authorize the Beis Din, but Kadosh Baruch Hu authorized the Beis Din. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Beis Din, Beis Din has to be on top. One of the jobs of the Beis Din is to take care of the people in their midst. To, I don't have anyone else to take care of. They are the guardians. They are the apotropsim. They're the ones in charge of the assignment. They have to take care of the little kids. So comes the Shach and says, notice the Gemara says, Gechal Rav Yosef Das Beis Din. Now, Gerish is always supervised by a Beis Din, but here it's supervised by a Beis Din for an additional reason, because only Beis Din has the koach to do this kind of a zchus. To do a personal zchus, that could work, but not for a katan. To do a communal zchus, to do a Beis Din-oriented zchus, that may work even for a katan as well. So if you take that approach of the Shach, let's go back to the Pidgin Ben story. So how can we possibly pull off a stunt of doing Pidgin Ben on behalf of a child? It's a problem. Ein zechil a katan, according to many. Depends who we are. If I'm as a private citizen, could it be a nice guy and do a pidyon ben on behalf of this 31-year-old, the 31-day-old kid, that may not work, says the Shach. But if I do it, the Torah is based in, the same way based in they take care of all the other needs of the children in our community, they can take care of the need of doing pidyon ben as well. So we have almost like an array of different possibilities here. Now, what our take is on potentially doing pidyon ben when the father's not around. So we had the Ramah who said, even if the father's around, he can't appoint the shlichim if he wanted to. So according to the Ramah, the game's over. Nothing can be done. Most of the postim didn't accept the Ramah and said, are they shlichus would work? Are they zechiyah? We started to hesitate. Is it really a zechus? The Gemara Maseches Nedarim. It's a katan. Is that going to work? So we have the whole group of postim who say, yeah, it's going to work. Zachin's going to work. No problem. Zachin's going to work. Then you have the Shach who's saying, Zachin's kind of going to work if the Zachin's being supervised by the Beis Din, not if it's being supervised just by an individual. But there is a whole nother approach to the sugya, radically different than everything we've been talking about. We've been working with this assumption that there's like a mitzvah that has to be done, and we have to figure out the halachic mechanism, who is authorized to do this mitzvah. We even compared it to the sugya of Chumas and Maizis, which is basically a mitzvah type of halacha. So the owner of the fruit has to be mafish Chumas and Maizis. Is it conceivable to speak about somebody else doing it? Maybe a shaliach, maybe a zechiyah, maybe a patropos, we could pilk one. Comes the Bir HaGrah, comes the Grah on the fifth of the Ramakomus and says, the entire premise of that discussion was not correct. Don't feel bad. We were going to Ikvos, the Ramah, the Ta'az, and the Shach, everybody else. The Grah says, wait a second. I have a different spin, a different take, a different look at the mitzvah of Pidyon Ben entirely. It's going to change the entire picture. What is the different look of Pidyon Ben? So let's take a look at the Bir HaGrah on the fifth of the Ramakomus. The Ena'av, so first the Grah is commenting on the Ramah. So the Ramah was the one who did extreme shittas that said that you can't do Pidyon HaBen, even if you're authorized to do it, you can't do it. Kol zehu tamua, says the Gra, this Ramah, beginning to end is tamua. It's a wonder. The Lama Vayadeh Shaliach, of course you can do it Ayadeh Shaliach. Why in a million years not? The Shlushot Kabaisai. What happened to the regular rule of Shalichos? The Gra is not interested in hearing the Rosh of the Chacham Sofer about Machas B'chadah. That's not going to change the day here. In the world, the Chacham Sofer meant it as a drush, not as halacha. In the world of halacha, Shlusham Kemosu carries a day. That trumps everything. And then the Gra says, and you know what? And even if he's not a shlich, it's still going to work. It's no different from the Maisa Sheni. Where somebody else can redeem your Maisa Sheni, the Chay Netravoy, your fourth year fruit, all these things can be done by somebody else. The Chay Hektish, somebody can be Poda, somebody that you were Machtish as well. But now the girl gets to the punchline. The Kol Shekin Kan, She'eno Ela Choy Ba'alma. Says the girl, we were looking, up until now, everyone was looking at Pidyon HaBen through the eyes of mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah. I got to get up and do a Pidyon HaBen. Can somebody do it on my behalf? Shlichus, the chiyah, back and forth. Says the Gra. No. You know what Pidyon HaBen is? Thousand cents. It's a chov. You owe the Kohen 5 shekel. You owe the group of Kohanim, the Sheva Kohanim, 5 shekel. It's a chov bi'alma. How do I know it's a chov bi'alma? It's not religious in nature. It's monetary obligation. Shiriyah Kohen Gomer Mishubadim. The Gemara says in Maseches Bechoros and Maseches Kedushin that what if a person doesn't want to give Pidyon HaBen? You know what happens? The Kohen takes you to the Din Torah and takes 5 shekels from you. So the Gemara said, that's 1,000 cents. You owe the Kohen the money. Says the Gemara the next punchline. Imagine the following. I owe money. Imagine, let's say, Reuven owes money to the IRS. So Shimon decides to be a nice guy, and he pays the IRS on Reuben's behalf. He sends a check to the IRS. I'm sending you a check on behalf of Reuben. It's not chal, because there was no shlichus. It's not chal. You're not going to get your money back. I can guarantee you. It's not chal because there's no shlichus, because there's no zechir. It's a joke. If I owe $100 to somebody, and somebody else wants to be a tzaddik and pay my debt, what's the question? Shlichos and zechiyas, when you're dealing with religious obligations, so you can pilpul. Can I put on tefillin on day shliach? Can I be mekadesh nisha day shliach? Can I be mafir shum tzibais day shliach? Shliach, zechiyah, katan, gadol, the whole rate. But when you're dealing with dollars and cents, I owe Pliny money, and somebody else pays my debt. Paid my debt. The debt is parua. The game's over. Pidgin HaBen is nothing more than just Piran HaChov. That's the theme of the Vilna Gaon. Yeah, I mean, you're right. We're gonna have to fine tune this probably next week to see the gross presenting almost a very, very one-sided version of what Pidgin HaBen is. And up to now, we were looking at it with different eyes. It may be somewhere a little bit of a mix between the two, a little bit of a chill between the two, but we'll have to put that in a whole little bit for later on. So comes the Gaon says, if you want to know lechatchila had do pidgin HaBen, I agree, says the Gaon. El shel lechatchila yosef tov yosef mitzvah bi'av. Kmo milu shadavarim. So he says, I'm not arguing that the right thing to do is for the fathers to do it. But if the father didn't do it and somebody else did it, the pidgin HaBen is going to be chal. And then he says, by the way, the entire Ramah was built on the Rivash. The Gam Rivash Laisim is a klum. I'll give you a shel sham. He says, if you look at the Chuvas of Rivash, Rivash himself didn't even say that idea. Shlichus doesn't work. The person who presented the Shaila to Rivash seemed to hold that way. And he didn't show the Rivash even agreed to that. And he says, I entire Shach, the entire Ramah, everybody, Shlichus, the whole picture is wrong. This is plain and simple. So now we have almost four, five different options. What that take is about the name of Asuk, Pidyon HaBen Shalai De'av. What do you do? According to Ramah, you do nothing. You have to wait until the kid turns bar mitzvah and does himself. Even if the father sent us an email, please authorize us to do is garnish galfin. You can't do it at day shlichus. So the game's over according to the Ramah. According to others, no, we can do it at day shlichus, but that's about it. According to others, we can even do it at day zchiyah. According to others, the shach, you can do it at day zchiyah. If you're a beis din, you know, body, you're an individual, it's not going to work. According to the Gaon, you don't need shlichus, you don't need zechiyah, you don't need beis din, you don't need anything. Any Tom, Dick, and Aaron gives 5 shekels to the kohen on behalf of Reuben the Bechor, Shon, the Pidyon HaBen. It happened, no different than paying up somebody else's taxes. So quite a spread across the board, depending on so many different halachic concepts are all being interwoven here. We're discussing shlichus, and we're discussing zechiyah, and we're discussing, is it a chov, is it not a chov, and zechim mitam shlichus, and not mitam shlichus. So many different possibilities that are ending up with the 5 different shittas l'maaser. What do? Practically speaking, what happens when these kinds of shadows happen? Unfortunately, fairly often, they happen either the father's legami not from, the father's not alive, the father's not Jewish. These cases do happen, unfortunately, fairly often. But what do? What should the practice be? So there were, it appears, 2 different practices in Europe about these shadows. These are not new shadows. It seems to have been almost 2 different traditions, 2 different parts of Europe as to what they would do. It's not a great surprise that in Lithuania, the Aruch HaShulchan was a rav in Lithuania, in the Baiduk. Aruch HaShulchan writes that the communities that he was near, they had the practice that whenever there was a kid in the community who didn't have a Pidyon HaBen, the rabbanim and dad, they would just do a quick Pidyon HaBen. That was it. They didn't wait till the kid turned 13. They would just do a Pidyon HaBen with a bracha. But, yeah, not a great surprise. We found the shit is not Grav. Grav was from Vilna, Lithuania. So that seems to have been the minig in that part of Europe. That just follows straight out the shit is not Grav. You do a Pidyon HaBen with a bracha, the whole story. However, the Chassam Sofer, who's the Rav in Hungary, the Chassam Sofer quotes a different tradition. Chassam Sofer had the practice that we're not quite sure what the din is. A little bit tricky. We don't know what the halach is. Maybe the Ramah's right and a whole shiur is a mooch shiur. Maybe even shlichus doesn't work. On the other end, maybe the Gros right, and you don't even need shlichus. Maybe the Taz is right, maybe the Shach's right, maybe the middle ground's right, very up in the air. So says Chassam Sofer, we really don't know what to do. So therefore, we're gonna play it safe at all fronts. We don't want to just let this kid just go for 13 years without a Pidyon HaBen, because mio demayelid yom. No, who's gonna remember what's gonna happen 13 years from now? Maybe no one will end up doing it. So we want to do a Pidyon HaBen. Again, we don't have to. We we start off the sugya by saying there's no chiyuv for the Beis Din to do this, but we are the rabbanim of the Beis Din in town. We want to try to help this kid out. We want to get him off the right foot. So we're going to do a pidyon ben on his behalf. However, we can't do it with complete confidence because half the person says it's no good. So we're going to have to do it without a bracha. Okay. But wait. The pidyon ben may not work. According to Rambam, for sure it doesn't work. According to other achronim, it may not work. It's chilakotam, etc. We're not so sure we just did accomplish anything. So we want very much to repeat this pidyon ben at what point? When the child turns 13. When the child gets old enough to do it on his own. So we're going to do a suffix pidyon ben now to be followed by another suffix pidyon ben 13 years from now. And you know it's going to get lost in the shuffle, the bracha. We're not going to make a bracha now because we're not sure it works. And we're not going to make a bracha 13 years from now because we're not sure we even have to do it anymore. Maybe we're yet 13 years old. It's not a perfect world, so you have to lose the bracha. So, something's got to go. It's got to be the bracha, says the Gra. We don't want to risk not doing a pidyon ben. On the other hand, we can't just turn around 13 and say, yeah, we're yet to shine and nothing else. No, we have to do it again. Second time, the chumra, the suffix. So, albeit without a bracha. Now comes a little bit of a technical problem. Who in the world is going to remember when this kid turns 13, that we did or didn't do a pidyon ben, with a bracha, without a bracha, suffix, about it. Who's going to remember such a thing? Some sefer writes, and again, this practice already existed a little bit. Shacharit already called it a similar kind of practice. We'll have to make some kind of a note. A note where? We're going to write in the shul bulletin. Where are we going to write exactly? We mazel tov on the suffix pidyon ben, without a bracha, check the bulletin in 13 years. How? Who's going to remember in 13 years? So some sefer quotes that there was a practice that they would take a little piece of paper and write suffix padli on it and put it inside like a little locket, a little necklace, and the child would wear that necklace for 13 years. I kid you not. That's what the Chassam Sofer quotes, that they would write suffix padli to be opened on the bar mitzvah. Hopefully somebody will open this necklace in the 13 years from now, and they'll know, by golly, suffix padli, oh, it's a shekel tofer, signed by the Chassam Sofer, oh, we're going to have to do a second pidyon ben again without a problem. Needless to say, I don't think in Teaneck that idea is going to go over well of writing a piece of paper and hanging it on the kid's neck for 13 years. Probably not going to be recommended. So what do we do? So I'll tell you what we did. We've done this more than once. One time, one of these cases came to my attention. I said the person who came with me to Shaila was Rav Shmuel Mincha in the YB Smedish one day.
You wouldn't even assume that. Pretty unusual for a bar mitzvah when we make a pidyon ben. So the question would be asked, did this happen before? That's not like it's a thing that's going to happen anyway. It's very unusual for a bar mitzvah.
Right.
Why would that trigger the thought that,
you know,
let's find out. Look at the
bulletin from 13
years ago.
Yeah, because you're living in a world where you can check bulletins 13 years ago. In Pressburg, there could have been 16 pogroms between then and now. So no one knows what's going to happen. So I remember it was after Mincha, the YB Spanish one day, and somebody came, told me a mice with his cousin, the father, the boy, whatever the story was. So I said, okay, well, let's do a pidyon ben. I said, liyesas eis, let's do it at Beis Din. Because you do it at Beis Din, the Shach says that it's a little bit better. So, now for this, you don't need a Beis Din Hagadol for this. So whatever Beis Din can do at Taras Adar, the right principles can do. So we convened the Beis Din right after Mincha. Three people together, and we said, we are hereby representing the Jewish community now. And I told the cousin, I pulled over a guy at Kohen, I said, go find some Shava Kesef worth 5 shkalim of silver, whatever it is. You don't have to use mamish coins, use anything at Shava Kesef. I don't know whether he gave him a few volumes of his shas in the basement, whatever. I forgot what we used, a watch, whatever it was, and 5 shkalim. The guy was very nice to Kohen, he gave it back to him, okay, he told himself, Hach, they're showing, and Shalom Israel, and we'll worry about it 13 years from now. So we've done it more than once. So I remember one time, I was talking to someone in our shul who had to do this kind of a pidyon ben on behalf of a relative of his that had one of these convoluted cases. So we did a pidyon ben. And I mentioned, I said, you know, I told him about the story about Chassam Sofer. He used to put a little, you know, a necklace on. So he said, I have a great idea. No problem. He put an alert on his phone to go off in 13 years from now. 13 years minus a month, whatever it was. Said in 13 years, it should flash the words, Suffolk Padui Ayin Sham. Assuming he has the same phone or not, this I can't tell you. I don't know enough about the technology of cell phones, but maybe it'll carry on from one one simchat to the next. Again, I don't want to say anything that sounds too foolish. My kids know more than I do about this topic. So whatever it was some kind of a modern day equivalent of the necklaces of Preshburg from the 1800s have moved to cell phones in Bergenfield in the 2000s. So the idea is basically said, the halacha hasn't changed. The culture has changed a little bit. Some of the externals have changed. But the basic fundamental halachic issue is still burning. Namely, we really don't have an answer to this. Unless you hold your limited. You go like this down the root of the gra, you have no problem. So the gra is very easy to understand. Do it and finish your gemara. The game's over. According to Ramon, don't even waste your time. You're accomplishing nothing. But it's all those middle grounds, the Taz and the Shach and other postgame who are trying to walk this tightrope. We'd like to do it. If we can do it, it's a suffix, we can do it. So we kind of cover these eitzes, and we may end up with these two stages of pidyon beds. And again, how to work out the technical details. Maybe that changed a little bit from culture to culture, but the basic fundamental question is still good. I think the Yoch HaShulchan writes that they made a bracha, yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Yoch HaShulchan writes that the meaning in Litha was they used to make a bracha.
It's hard to understand the whole distinction between this and new. I mean, the words are so similar. All will cover that and
Well, but that's a himol lachem. It's a little bit different. That's the difference. Himol lachem kol zachar. Lachem is loshin rabim. That's the father.
I mean,
in our post-chem derivative Gershom, probably not too many. Yeah. But a pre-chem derivative Gershom, potentially a few. That's a big question. Can it be Meichel? Can it be Meichel? Right. So according to the Gra, Prada Mechilish work, there's a Marashah and Ksubis that talks about this very topic. Can you have Mechil on Pidyon? Does that make any sense? So that's a loaded question because even though Pidyon Ben is a Chov, you have to pay in a certain manner. I can't pay Shtar, Skip, Karka. It's a Chov that has a Tzuris HaNesina to it. So whenever you have a Chov that has to be given in a very specific manner, that's also what it can be Meichel. The funniest application of the Shal is Shalach Manus. I bring you Shalach Manas, and you say you're Marshal Shalach Manas. Is that your answer? That was the only Shalach Manas that I only made one, and the one guy, I only have one friend in town, and I brought him, and this is already his 37th, but he's not interested in Shalach. He says, I'm Yechmin Reichel. So the post of a big machlokes, whether I'm Yaitse. So someone argue, how can you be Yaitse? Shalach Manas can't be paid with cash, it's got to be paid with food. So Mechila, when you're speaking about pure cash, Mechila works. When you're talking about something that has a tzuris, that's a shlum into it, it's for Mechila. So some want to connect that to Pidyon Ben also. Pidyon Ben is a tzur, it's not a shlumen. It's got to be dafka with non-kark, with non-shtar, it's not a bundle. So anyway, that's our him. We'll leave it hanging.
The
Kohen
not going to be a
Oh, that's also a loaded child about that. I'm sorry for that. I think it has a truth about that. About, normally as a rule, in order to be a shliach, you have to be in the parsha of that mitzvah. So as a child, is that called being in the parsha? Yisrael is in the parsha of giving, not of receiving. So that's a loaded question. I think it's Chamsof, I think, has the truth about this. Okay. All right.
I still wish one of these lockets on eBay.
See, they sell them.